I want to talk tonight about when bad happens to good folk. When bad happens to good folk. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? I just want to read to orient us in the story tonight, the book of Job, because it's a book about Job. Chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed or hated evil. He's a good man. Chapter 2, verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd, that's a broken piece of pottery, to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." He not only needed healing, he needed marriage counseling. Amen. When bad happens to good folk. Let's pray over this message. As we do, let's just take Sister Pettit to the Lord in prayer. Could we do that? Let's pray together. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you would move even as we're praying. God, strengthen Sister Pettit's body. Lord, be with Brother Pettit. Strengthen him. But God, I pray, Lord, that you would enable this trip. Give her strength for the trip. Give her healing, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, you would encourage them along the trip and protect them and enable them, oh God. Lord, I thank you for your people that are gathered here tonight. And I truly ask you, Lord, to speak to us together tonight in this place. May we have a sense of your presence being here. We do give you honor, God, and we pray, God, your truth would settle into our hearts with a strength and an encouragement tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You can be seated. When bad happens to good folk, you know what I've discovered? Everybody likes to read Job. Nobody wants to live Job. I don't. But we've seen some folks that's living Job. You may or may not know this, but Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. Job was not necessarily Hebrew, but probably wasn't, but he was a contemporary of Abraham. So we're talking about a man that lived over 4,000 years ago. And guess what? Read his life. Nothing's changed in 4,000 years. Satan was at work then. Satan's at work now. Good folk were suffering then. Good folk are suffering now. You know, I remember one time, Brother Brock, I don't know if you remember this, but I thought I was really going through some things. And I went to Brother Brock, and I was complaining. I said, this is going wrong, and that's going wrong, and this is going wrong, and I'm having trouble with this. And I made the statement, I just feel like Job. And Brother Brock looked at me, and he said, Job? I knew Job, and you're no Job. Thank you, brother. That begs the question. I know I'm no Job, but there's some good people who suffer like Job did. They have the questions Job had. And so I want to look at tonight, what can be said to good folk when they're suffering? What can be said to them? You know, this is an aside, and I dare not venture too far here, but one of the biggest attacks atheists make against Christians and Christianity, and one of the biggest excuses that backsliders use is this: somehow God's not good because good people suffer. They love to use that as an excuse to either not believe in God or to backslide or to be bitter against God. And so Job, this book of Job, deals with this huge problem, this problem of evil, this problem of why good people suffer. I want to just make clear, we're not reading the book about a man that didn't live right. We're reading a book about a man that lived godly. He was a righteous man. So I want to tell you, we may not want to hear it, but all that live godly are going to be a particular target of evil and Satan and suffering. Amen. Could you indulge me just to tell a little bit of the story of Job tonight? Job was a very wealthy man. He had a lot of possessions, many herds, many flocks, had 10 children. They didn't live very good. He did, but his children didn't. So Satan came one day before God and his throne, and God said, Satan, where you been? Satan said, Roman, going to and fro. He's not stopped that. How many knows our adversary? The devil's like a roaring lion who goeth about to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. So he said to God, I've been going to and fro. And God said, have you noticed my follower Job? Did you see him? He lives righteously. He's truly godly. He's devoted to me. He hates evil. And Satan said this to God. Satan said, God, do you think Job lives that way because he's truly good? Do you think Job lives that way because he loves you? Ha! Job lives that way because you've blessed him so much. Job lives that way because you don't let anything bad happen to him. You protect him. You pamper Job like someone would pamper their pet. God, what do you think would happen if you took away everything that you've given Job? If you let Job suffer, what would Job do? Satan said to God, I'll tell you what Job would do. He'd curse you to your face. And God said, challenge accepted. We'll see about that. Take away everything he has. Take away his children. Just don't touch him. Don't hurt him. Some marauding bands of robbers came and took all the flocks and herds of Job. I want to say natural catastrophe, but it wasn't really natural. Cyclone crashes the house where Job's children are partying and he loses all his children. What great calamity came. Bad news upon the heels of bad news, one report after the other. And Job is left without children. He's left without money in the bank. He's left without provision. What did Job do? The Bible makes it clear. He refused to blame God, and instead he blessed God. So Satan comes back before God and he says, or God says to Satan, where you been? Same answer. It's never changed. Satan said, I've been roaming this earth. I've been going to and fro. God said, you have? Did you notice my servant Job? Even now, after all the evil done to him, even now, after all the loss that he suffered, he still lives godly. He still hates evil. He still blesses my name. Satan said, well, yeah, you let me take his flocks and you let me kill his children, but you made me stay away from him and not touch his body. You let me take his health, and he'll curse you to your face. God said, okay, you can try that, but I give you just one rule. You can make him sick, you can afflict his body, but you cannot kill him. So Job is struck with these awful, oozing, painful, itchy sores. And I want to tell you something right here. I know it was his wife. But whenever you suffer, somebody's going to show up to tell you what to think about your suffering. And 99% of the advice and 99% of the time, it's the wrong person saying the wrong thing. And Job's wife said to him, are you still going to serve God after all this? Are you still going to live for God? Here's what his wife said. Job, just go ahead and curse him and die. Why do bad things happen to good people like they happened to Job? Not just Job, any good person. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I'm not going to take long. I promise you. I don't want to deal with this question tonight, philosophically, even theologically. I want to look at the forest rather than the trees. But I want to start right here. What happened to Job didn't just happen to Job for Job. What happened to Job happened for us. Amen. The book of Job is in the Bible because we need it. 4,000 years ago, but nothing's changed much. We're dealing with the same thing. I want to just try to share some things that might help somebody that suffers like Job has suffered. I do know one thing. God does want to help us through His Word. So could we take just a quick flyover? I mean, it's a book of 40 plus chapters. I want to just take a quick flyover tonight. And here's what I hope is encouraging. First of all, I want to point out, Job didn't know why. Job did not know why he was suffering. We have this insatiable desire when bad things happen to us. We want to know why. Job never did. I want to point out something. Did you know poor Job? He didn't even have the book of Job to read. I mean, aren't you like that? Don't when things get bad, don't you say, I'm going to read the book of Job. I need help. Job couldn't do that. There's no book of Job. You know this thing, this story I just told you, this dialogue between God and Satan? Everyone agrees that that was written down, what happened many years after Job was even on earth. What I'm trying to say, that story I just told you, Job didn't even know that. Job didn't even know that what he was suffering was because of this battle between God and Satan, this challenge. He didn't even know all that I just shared. We know it, but he didn't know it. Talk about being in the dark of why he's suffering. And you read the whole story, even when God speaks at the end of Job, and you'll find God, Job is never told why he suffered. I want to tell you something. If Job didn't know why, his wife didn't know why either. And his friends didn't know why, but they sure tried to act like it. Do you realize the bulk of the book of Job is his friends trying to act like they knew and tell Job why he was suffering? They didn't know. We want to know. We desire to know. But we may never know. And one thing's for sure, when we're the ones suffering, others don't know either. One of the greatest harms that has been done to folks in suffering is there's some folks that are quick to offer reasons why. Did you know when Job's friends came as comforters and they did nothing but cause him distress? Did you know one of the best ways to be a comforter to those that are suffering is to never to begin to suggest reasons why they are suffering? I had a preacher friend of mine that was taken out of this world untimely. And you would not believe some of the reasons why folks offered. Let me tell you what one said to me. I'm talking about a friend, good friend, taken out at a premature age. Well, you know, we don't know, but it really could be that God knew he was going to backslide. So God took him out when he was ready so he would be in heaven and not backslide. I hope they didn't say that to his widow. Job's friends tried to tell why. They don't. I had someone just recently, it was over the phone, wasn't one of you here, and they asked me, why am I going through this? Truly suffering. Why am I going through this? Well, I knew this individual had, for work purposes, had taught himself trigonometry. And I said, listen, I can't tell you why, but let me ask you something. Do you think that you could explain trigonometry to a kindergartner? Think about it. I said, could you explain sine and cosine and tangent to a kindergartner? How many believes that'd be pretty tough? Unless you had a real prodigy on your hands, that'd be really tough. I want to tell us tonight, we're human. He's God. And God's ways are higher than our ways. And God's ways are not our ways. And for God to try to explain why to us about the things that we suffer would be like us trying to explain trigonometry to a kindergartner. How many is getting already that the thing isn't knowing why, the thing is to trust in the goodness and the mercies of God. Amen. One of the reasons the friends of Job's were so insistent of giving a reason why, because if you can suffer and there not be any reason, then anybody can suffer. And they could suffer. They over and over, Job, you're suffering because you sin. They wanted to tie it to something. Because if you can suffer and there be no known reason, then anybody can suffer. And the truth of the matter is, anybody can suffer. So let me tell you this. There's a unique comfort in not knowing why you're suffering. Let me tell you why. Because we can understand the reason for our suffering being that we've done something wrong. You can make that connection. We cannot understand that you can live right and suffer. So if you're not finding a reason why, it's pretty evident it's not because of wrong and evil that you have done. There is that consolation. It's a little tough to receive. I've had folks say to me, well, maybe I'm suffering this because God, He's correcting me. God is chastising me. Parents, you that raise children, did you ever discipline your children? Let's just say spank them. Did you ever spank them without letting them know what it was for? If something comes into our lives suffering, it's because of something we've done and God's trying to chastise us, discipline us. He's a better father than any of us have ever been. Don't you think He'd let us know? Don't you think He'd tell us? Job didn't know why. Amen. Amen. And so let's just put it this way. You may not know why you suffer, but you know whom you trust. Hallelujah. I said, you may not know why you suffer, but you know whom you trust. Do you see what we've just done? We've taken it from a crisis and a thing, and we've made it about a person. What did Paul say? I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. How many is confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? How many knows you can say with the psalmist, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. What am I doing? I don't know why, but I know in whom I have trusted. Oh hallelujah. Make no mistake. I know how we are as humans. When we begin to suffer, maybe it's me. But make no mistake, God was unmistakably, I'm going to put it the other way, Job was unmistakably loved of God. Is there any doubt when you read the story? Secondly, we're doing a flyover. Secondly, God was in control. Did you know the first person to recognize that God was in control was not Job or his friends or his wife? The first person to recognize that God was in control was Satan. He had to get permission. He saw that God had a hedge about Job. You know, they used to use hedges as barriers, as walls. They even used them as corrals in Bible times. They would gather up, if the hedge wasn't growing like we would think of it, they'd gather up branches, bushes with thorns, and they'd make an enclosure. I've never seen this before, but Job had three hedges around him. First of all, there was a hedge around his family, his children, his possessions, and everything that he had. Because Satan said, you've put a hedge around him. So God said, okay, I'll take down that hedge and you can get to his children and you can get to his animals. Satan came back and said, he didn't curse you because you didn't let me touch his body. So the second hedge was the hedge around Job's body. And God took that down and let him get to Job's body. But the third hedge, God kept up. God says you can touch his body, but you can't touch his life. And could I put in the place of life, soul. Amen. Amen. There's three hedges. The hedge around your world, it may be taken away. You may suffer. The hedge around your body may be taken away, and you may suffer. But God will not take away the hedge around your soul. Amen. So Satan recognizes that God's in control, and he says, God, you just let me get. So God let the suffering through. It's just simple. Brother O'Hare, the lesson is the only thing that got through to Job was the thing that God allowed. Now, some people want to take a jump. Well, why did he do that? Just get mad at God because he allowed it through. No, you're missing the point. The fact that the only thing that got through to Job is what God allowed only proves one thing. God is in control. How many's got a sense that God's never going to allow anything through that he doesn't intend to give us victory or deliverance from that thing? Has God ever let something through to get at his people that God did not intend on giving them an overcoming of that thing? God is in control. But here's where the questions begin. Why did God let that through? Why does God let anything through? Again, we can't answer that question, but we can answer this question. Satan had to get permission. God is in control. I'm not going to go here tonight, but I want to tell you something. People miss the whole message of the book of Revelation. I've preached it to you, and you know what I'm about to say if you think about it. People want to get, what's this little detail? What's this mean about the Antichrist? But if you read the book of Revelation, you know what it's really saying? God is in control. Horrible things are going to happen, but God is in control. There's going to be Antichrist, but only for this long. God set the limits. This is going to be poured out, but only this much. Only one third, only one fourth. Over and over and over. You see, when the calamities like it's never been seen hit this earth, you're going to see that God is still in control. How many believes that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nothing has caught him by surprise. Again, the flyover. Next of all, what mattered was how Job chose to respond. You know, I'm not going to minimize anybody's problems. If I had really went to Brother Brock, he wouldn't have responded that way. He'd been concerned. He'd say, I'll pray with you, brother. You see, it's easy to think what other folks are going through isn't that big until that thing hits you. I mean, let's take something simple, a toothache. You hear somebody else having a toothache, oh, what's the big deal? Shake it off. You try shaking it off when you're the one that's got the toothache. Just one tooth can cause a whole lot of pain. Isn't that right? I'm not minimizing anybody's problem, but I am saying this. If Scripture says anything about trials and suffering and trouble, it says this. We may not be able to control what comes our way, but we can have a decision in our response to it. Amen. Job could have become bitter. He could have become skeptical. He could have become hard and cynical. But he made a choice. I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to curse God. I will bless God. Look what it says in Job 1:22. In all this, all that suffering, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Amen. Suffering came his way, but he made a decision. I'm going to respond with trust and devotion to God. Job refused to fault God for what was happening to him. Remember what his wife said to him? Go ahead and curse God and die. And what did Job say? I'm not sure we can say this anymore. He said, you're talking like a foolish woman. Anything that will turn your heart against God and trust in God and believe in God, that's foolish. He said, you talk like a foolish woman. His friends came to him and said over and over to him, Job, you're not right. You've sinned. You're all askew, your relationship with God. And Job says, I haven't sinned, and I don't know why I'm suffering, but I'm going to continue to believe that God is God, and God is good, and it don't matter if I understand or not. It doesn't matter if I still have these boils tomorrow. I've made a decision that whatever happens, God's still God, and He's still good. And that's my response to this, Job said. I've seen some wonderful responses from our people. Horrible things are happening, but to continue to say, God is still God, and God is still good. Hey, man, I told you I wasn't going to be philosophical, and I'm not. But I'm telling you, that's the biggest answer to the problem of evil. God's still God, and God's still good. And I'll hold both of those things. I'll hold them together. Hallelujah. God is God, and God is good. And so what did Job say in 13:15? Though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. Hallelujah. And then I want us to note that you may question the movement of God's hand, but don't question the motive of His heart. Did you know Jesus, He even had a question? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why am I facing this cross? Amen. We question God's ways, the movement of His hand, but we're not going to question the motive of His heart. He loves us. It's for our good. Amen. Job realized that though he had lost sight of God, God had not lost sight of him. I want us to stop here and think a minute. I said, Job realized though he lost sight of God, God had not lost sight of him. Just be honest tonight. How many in trouble? How many in difficulty? How many in temptation? How many in trial? How many in dark times? How many has lost sight of God in your life? Come on, be honest. It happens. Let's look what Job says. Look how he describes it. Chapter 23, verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Does anyone see Job's mistake here? He said, I go forward, God's not there. I go backward, and God's not there. I go to the left hand, he's not there. I even look where he's working in somebody else's life, and he's not. What's his problem? He ain't looking up. Look what it says in verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. But he knoweth. You know what Job just said? He said, I may not be able to find God, but he knows exactly where I'm at. Isn't that what he just said? Am I stretching it all? He said, I couldn't find God. But that didn't mean he didn't know where I was at. I couldn't find, but he knows. So I don't know the way I'm walking. I don't know how it ends up. I don't know what all is involved on this way. I don't even know where God is. But he knows where I'm at, and he knows where my way's going. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Job responded. Job trusted God to come through for him, even if it was at the end. Look what he says in chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. In the end, it's going to be me and God. I don't know where he's at right now. I can't find him. But I know there's coming a day. Whatever happens to this body, however bad it gets, I know there's coming a day I'm going to be looking at his face. Oh, hallelujah. How many believes he's coming again? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Last of all, there is an incredible and vindicating outcome. If you stop in Job and don't read the end of it, you don't realize what a wonderful thing happened and how wonderfully that ended up. I told you a while ago, Job didn't, well, I'll just leave it there. I just want to tell you, God made it right. God made it right. God restored everything Job lost and doubled it. He gave him children. He gave him double herds, double flocks. And the scripture said he blessed his latter days more than his first. We got something better than latter days. We have eternal days. Hallelujah. I got to thinking, Brother Scott, all that God did to vindicate Job, how God totally turned that around and gave a wonderful outcome. And all that good that God brought Job was still without heaven. He still hadn't even got to heaven yet. I want to tell you, however bad it gets, I know one thing. In heaven, every right will be made. I said that backwards. I have a habit of doing that lately. Every wrong will be made right. Maybe I just illustrate. I have to get to heaven before I get it straight here. But every wrong is going to be made right. How many believes this? For the people of God, every sickness will be healed. There's no blind people in heaven. There's no lame people in heaven. There's no handicapped folk in heaven. Amen. Praise God. How many believes that is a place where there's total vindication? How many believes it's going to be an incredible outcome for the people of God? Amen. Would you come, music? Amen. I'll tell you, sometimes there's only one thing to do, and that's factor in heaven. I want to do this because I keep feeling compelled to do it. I want to tell you about another good man in the New Testament. His name was Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He was doing a good thing. He was preaching to the lost, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was doing a good thing. And they began to gnash upon him with their teeth. You know what happened when they began to gnash on him with their teeth? The scripture says that Stephen looked up and he saw the heaven open. And you know what he saw? He saw the Father, but it said he saw Jesus standing. Every indication is Jesus had been sitting at the right hand of his Father. But when they began to gnash on Stephen with their teeth, Jesus stood up. Why? He's getting ready. He's getting ready to greet and receive Stephen. They took Stephen out and stoned the life out of him. A good man doing a good thing. You could ask why? He's a young man doing a good thing, a good man. Why is Stephen dying? I can't answer all those questions. The only thing I know is as those stones took his life, his spirit went to heaven, and Jesus himself met him, welcomed him, and greeted him into the place of everlasting life. Sometimes you just have to factor in heaven. That's no cop-out. That's no cop-out. I said, that's no cop-out. Thank God Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But Lazarus had to die again, and he's waiting the same thing we're waiting for. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. One thing that old song Beulah Land has right, that's when our faith will end in sight. Amen. Could you stand? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word, Lord. Help us tonight, Lord. God, in all of this, we don't need just reasons for our mind. We need your presence for our heart. We need your nearness for our lives. We'll trust you, Lord. We'll trust you. Hallelujah. How many's going to trust him through the storm? Hallelujah. 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 Some of you's making some decisions right now of how you're going to respond to things in your life. Amen. Just make the decision. You're going to respond with a trust and a faith in Jesus Christ. I refuse to be bitter. I refuse to blame others. I refuse to be cynical. I refuse to be skeptical. I am going to believe and trust in my Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could we praise him? Hallelujah. I don't know why the waves are rocking your boat, but I do know a man who can come walking on the waters. Glory to God. I do know one who can speak peace. Be still. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder how many would come just to express your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder if you could come tonight, whatever the situation is, and say, I don't know why, but I know in whom I've trusted, and I'm going to trust him. Amen. How many would like to begin to come and say, I don't know why, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. I don't know where he's at. He knows where I'm at. Oh, hallelujah. Would you come? Bring your questions.
Every situation, God gave mercy, consolation. Let my trials, if only, come to make me strong.
We know you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. Through it all, Lord.
Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus.
Oh, I've learned. Trust in Jesus.
Oh, through it all.
Oh, that's the point. We're going through it. Hallelujah. We're going to reach the other side. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll depend upon his word. I'll trust in his word. Let's pray tonight, church. Some of us need our faith boosted tonight. We need our trust renewed. Oh, hallelujah. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord.
As if I never had a problem, I wouldn't.
Let's let God be God. Let's say he's good.
He's been through it all. Through it all that I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to depend. Thank you.